Welcome to the Sunshine Economy this week on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. The second largest home insurance company in Florida would have asked to raise premiums by 25% if it could have. Citizens Property Insurance instead is asking state regulators to okay an average increase statewide of about a third of that.
We filed for 8.2%. What we needed was 25.
That's Barry Gilway. He's the CEO of Citizens Property Insurance. That's the state-backed home insurance company. More than 100,000 homes and condominiums in South Florida rely on Citizens for homeowners insurance. Now, the average increase policyholders statewide will see beginning in September is that 8.2% he mentioned. It will be higher, though, in Monroe, Miami-Dade, and Broward counties. Still, Gilway says if the company was able to keep prices up with the risk, rates would have jumped a lot higher.
25.6%.
Yeah, 25.6% would have been the market increase, an enormous increase for most homeowners. Landlords would have been forced to increase rents to make up the cost of insurance of apartment buildings. But Citizens cannot increase rates more than 10% a year. Other insurance companies can, and some are asking state regulators for double-digit hikes. Now, this may leave Citizens as the low-cost property insurer at a time the company has been trying to shrink its footprint and shrink the risk it takes on in Florida.
We are underpricing the risk in the Tri-County area today, and we're underpricing it by close to 15, 16, 17%.
And if Citizens is not charging enough to reflect the true risk of insuring homes and condominiums in South Florida, it's even worse for apartment buildings.
While we needed 25.6% on the residential, we needed 54% was our rate estimate on the commercial.
By commercial properties, Gilway means commercial residential properties like apartment buildings. When the CEO at Citizens Property Insurance says Tri-County area, he's referring to Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Because increasingly, Citizens is becoming a Tri-County insurer. It operates statewide and is backed by state taxpayers, but its efforts over the past several years to depopulate, that's the word used in state law, requiring Citizens to move policyholders to private insurance companies, this has all led to a concentration of risk in the three big South Florida counties. Citizens is a big insurer in the Keys too, of course, but because of the much smaller population there, Monroe County does not represent a big slice of Citizens' risk, except for hurricane insurance, where the Keys has the third most windstorm policies with Citizens in the state, right behind, you guessed it, Dade and Broward counties. Now, any way you look at the data, Citizens, the statewide homeowners insurer of last resort, is becoming a South Florida-focused insurance company, clustering its risk in the highest cost, most hurricane-prone area of the state.
The share of Citizens' business that comes from Dade and Broward, it used to be in the 50% range. Today, it is 57% of our business and climbing. So slowly but surely, you know, we're getting more of our business out of the Tri-County area.
Are companies, other companies other than Citizens, are they just simply not writing policy in South Florida? They don't want to cover South Florida homeowners? Or is it that they're pricing their risk at a higher price than what the Citizens price for a homeowner's insurance premium is?
So the answer, Tom, is yes.
to both. Okay.
to both. Yeah, it's a combination. So several companies are just simply, they have stopped writing. So you have some of the major companies that really have stopped writing business. They have stopped writing new business, and some companies have gone as far as to start reducing the share of the business that they have had, you know, in the Tri-County area. However, there are still a few significant companies that are increasing their market share in Tri-County. But to the second part of your question, they're writing it at substantially, you know, higher premiums.
And it sounds like increasingly Citizen finds itself as the low-priced option if your concentration of policies in South Florida is increasing as the population in South Florida increases.
Exactly, Tom. So what's happening from a rate standpoint, you know, you have some companies, some of the major companies in South Florida that are in their second year of double-digit rate increases. So they're increasing their rates substantially in order to keep ahead of all the litigation costs that we'll talk about. But so they're increasing their costs significantly. And of course, Citizens, we have the glide path, or basically what that is a restriction of 10% per policyholder per year.
So with the collar on premiums at no more than 10%, and you saying Citizens really needed to increase premiums by 25%, isn't Citizens increasing the risk to Floridians by being a state-backed insurance company?
In 2011, if we would have had a 1 in 100 storm, a major storm, then Floridians would have been on the hook for $11.6 billion. So there's a huge, huge assessment potential back in 2011, 2012. We eliminated that potential in 2015. And now we're in a very positive position from a surplus standpoint. The concern, as you've stated, is that if Citizens starts to grow significantly as a result, of the change in the overall market, then we could find ourselves back in a couple of years into a position where, again, we have this assessment, potential for Floridians, and that is the major emphasis that we have. We want to eliminate any possible assessment potential.
Getting back to the concentration, the tri-county company tone that Citizens has increasingly seen, 57% of your policies in South Florida. It is the insurer increasingly of last resort in South Florida, but yet putting all of Floridians at risk of what you call an assessment. It could be a special tax or some kind of revenue collection on the part of the state if Citizen has to pay out big, big dollars because of either a natural disaster or just in the due course of insuring homeowners, right?
Well, that's true. I think it's important to note one thing, Tom, and that is these premium increases are not a result of, Florida's 1,350 miles of coastline and the fact that, we have high catastrophe potential in South Florida. That's not what's happening. Where the premium increases are coming from are companies attempting to keep up with the litigation rates, which are just absolutely astounding. If you write a policy in Dade or Broward County, you can expect 8 times on average more lawsuits than if you wrote a policy outside of Dade and Broward. 8 times. So when you take a look at that, that is what's driving rates. It's the defense costs that these companies are having to pay in order to stay ahead of the game financially and make sure that they're financially stable. In 2015, Citizens, we were able to give rate decreases to 70% of our customers, 70%. And as you just noted, in 2018, to go into effect in August of 19, we'll be giving rate increases to 97% of our customers. And none of that has to do with catastrophe losses. That all has to do with increased litigation and litigation costs.
Citizens Property Insurance CEO Barry Gilway. So with premiums going up, but not because of hurricanes, still to come on our conversation continues, what's fueling the higher cost of property insurance in South Florida?
This is principally water damage. In theory, these are cases where you have broken pipes, broken water heaters, non-wind-driven water damage claims.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. Thanks again for listening. I'm Tom Hudson. If you own your home or a condominium in South Florida, odds are your home insurance cost will be going up. Citizens Property Insurance, the second largest home insurer in the state, is asking for average price hikes of between 7% in Palm Beach County to almost 10% in Broward. Some private insurers may get even higher increases. If okayed by state insurance regulators, the average homeowner with a regular insurance policy with Citizens will pay between $3,000 and $4,000 a year for standard homeowner's insurance. And the more expensive a home, the higher the insurance premium. Now, this is for just regular run-of-the-mill homeowner's insurance. It's not the risk of a hurricane that is driving these costs. It is the risk of a water leak and the risk of legal costs that may come with a water leak or some other repair. It's an AOB issue. AOB is shorthand in the insurance industry for assignment of benefits. It allows you to sign over any insurance claim to someone, usually a contractor fixing your problem or a lawyer. They then deal with your insurance company and argue about the claim, oftentimes in court. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation has found those assignment of benefit claims that wind up in court are 85% more expensive to settle than insurance claims that don't involve an assignment of benefit. Now, a decade ago, these lawsuits numbered in just a few hundred. Now there are thousands of these cases. The Insurance Industry Institute figures those lawsuits have meant homeowner and auto insurance customers have paid $2.5 billion in legal costs through higher insurance premiums in Florida. One libertarian think tank estimated homeowner insurance policies in South Florida could jump as much as 60% by 2023. Supporters of the assignment of benefits practice say it helps even the playing field between homeowners and deep-pocketed and legally skilled insurance companies, and it can help get a problem fixed faster. Assignment of benefits and the associated legal costs is what the state's second-largest property insurer blames for higher premiums, especially here in South Florida. Barry Gilway is the CEO of Citizens.
It continues to be a South Florida problem. If you take a look at Dade, In Dade alone, in 2013, they had 10,759 cases. In 2018, they'll exceed 20,000 cases.
You have gone on record that you contend that a good portion of this is not legitimate. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. I believe, you know, I've been quoted as saying that many of these claims are mined. And
manufactured
claims.
Mined and manufactured.
What I mean by that basically is that there are networks that are taking place now across the state, but really started out in Dade and Broward, where you have a combination of attorneys and contractors and what they call loss consultants, and they literally search for claims that have either been closed previously. And they attempt to get more, from the insurance company, or they convince an insurer to put in a claim with either a public adjuster or a contractor, and then they end up, litigating that claim automatically. It's interesting that 47% of all of the litigation that we get. We've never had any complaint from the insured at all relative to the actual dollars that we have spent in terms of our offer.
What types of claims are we talking about here?
This is principally water damage. So these are cases where you have broken pipes, broken water heaters, non-wind driven water damage claims.
So half of those claims that Citizen sees are not filed by the actual named policyholder.
That's correct. Typically what happens, Tom, is that you have a water damage loss. You know, a consumer has a water damage loss. Instead of calling their insurance company, they call a contractor. And the contractor basically comes in and says, look, sign this for me. And what the consumer does not understand is what they're signing is they're signing away all of their benefits for their policies, but they're also signing away complete and total control over that claim.
Right.
So what happens is they sign this assignment of benefit. What they don't realize is that the contractor, what they're getting is they're getting the benefits, but under the court interpretation in Florida, the contractor doesn't have to comply with what you call duties after loss, which are simply submitting, you know, a scope of work, a damage estimate, allowing an adjuster to come in to review the loss, submission, you know, under oath relative to certain, you know, elements of the loss. In other words, working in conjunction with the insurance company
right.
to come up
so
with a
fair estimate.
So let me
unpack a little bit of that, Barry, because the homeowner will say, listen, I got water damage. My water heater has ruined you know, the floor and the wall, and I just want to get it fixed. I don't want to have to wait
right.
days upon days upon weeks upon months to try to wrestle with my insurance company and get a check and then have to go out and find a contractor. I need to get this fixed now.
Right.
So it's the time essence that also is at play here, and the ability for an insurance company, in the case of Citizens, your company, to respond quickly and to get a claim settled fairly and accurately in a fast manner, in a manner where the homeowner is going to be made whole or close to whole as soon as a contractor could make them whole or close to whole.
Absolutely. And in fact, what we just introduced, Tom, it was effective 8/1 of 2018, but we just introduced changes to our policy form that not only does that, if they call the insurance company, our new policy form will provide for a mitigation company to come out within 2 hours and fix the and complete the mitigation for free. We don't apply the deductible, you know, there's no cost to the insured associated with the actual mitigation of the loss. So your water heater breaks, you call Citizens, and we come in and we'll assign a mitigator. A mitigator comes out and basically stops, mitigates the water loss.
Yeah, they stop the leak, but they don't fix the you know, they don't repair the problem. They just stop the problem from getting any worse.
Well, they don't repair the problem. What we offer under what we call the managed repair program, what we offer basically is the ability of the insured to sign up for a managed repair program, which allows then, you know, a contractor, one of several hundred contractors that we work with under Contractor Connection, to come in and do the actual repair.
So I know it's only been, 4 or 5 months of that program, but what kind of uptake have you seen in the market from that?
The uptake has been somewhat disappointing, particularly in South Florida. I would say probably a third of the water damage losses that are reported are, you know, actually access the mitigation feature, you know, of the program, but less, a lower percentage to date, you know, are accessing the permanent repair component. But as you said, Tom, it's very, very early days. And I'm describing the Citizens program. All of the major companies today have some form of managed repair program that they're implementing. And they're implementing it, frankly, to get, you know, service to the consumer as quickly as possible. The key, obviously, is the faster you can get to the consumer, make the repair, get the consumer comfortable with both the mitigation and the subsequent permanent repair, then the less chance there will be of litigation and a lawsuit.
One of the criticisms of the managed repair program, it's kind of like an in-network doctor network when it comes to health insurance. You've got an in-network set of contractors that Citizen works with, for instance, but that may not be who the homeowner wants to fix their wall or their floor.
No, that is absolutely correct. What's happening, particularly in South Florida, with the major law firms, and there's probably 20 law firms that are responsible for a good 90%, you know, of the litigation, 60% of the overall litigation, 90% of Citizens litigation. Those attorneys basically are using unlicensed contractors. We just did a review of the contractors that are aligned with some of the major firms, and we found out that 87% of the contractors weren't even licensed. It's not that we don't support AOB. It's not that we don't support assignment of benefits. What we're doing is we're not supporting how it's being used today, because the process is just simply being abused. I think what legislation needs to address is not eliminating AOB. Legislation needs to address some of the fraud and the abuse in the AOB system. The problem today is if a contractor takes the job, they get the AOB assigned, and let's say it's a $10,000 loss. Well, the contractor, they send, without any scope of work, without any estimate, they send the company a bill for $30,000, three times the amount. And the insurance company, what do they say? No, we're not going to pay based upon that. We need, you know, a contractor estimate. And the response from the third party is, well, we'll sue you.
The third party being the contractor or the law firm, right, that they may be working with, right?
Exactly. So the contractor, then they sue you. And so here's where the abuse comes in. If they sue you under current law, if you pay $1 more, if the insurance company pays $1 more than the original estimate that they provided, then, you know, the company has to pay the plaintiff costs.
It was put in place to protect Floridians, homeowners, against the deep pocket and a bench of lawyers and attorneys that insurance companies have.
Absolutely. And that was the intent. And that's why we're constantly saying we believe that needs to stay in place.
But Citizens Property Insurance CEO Barry Gilway is among those pushing for changes to the way assignment of benefits works in Florida, especially the practice of one-way attorney fees. State law requires if an insurance company loses a claims lawsuit, the insurance company has to pick up the attorney fees for whomever sued them in the first place. Efforts to reform the assignment of benefits system in the past five legislative sessions have failed. The incoming chairman of the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee in Tallahassee says he will focus on attorney fees. The issue also is in the court system. The Florida Supreme Court will hear a closely watched case soon involving an insurance company's efforts to restrict an assignment of benefit. How much of, in your estimation, addressing the assignment of benefits issue is legislative, and how much of the issue is judicial?
That is a great question. I would say step number one has to be legislative. And the reason I say that, Tom, is I can point you directly to court cases where the courts have made a decision and they have said, look, we disagree with this. However, this is not up to us. The change has to be done by the legislature. So I think the process basically has to be legislation first, and then that legislation obviously is tested by the court.
Still to come is our conversation with Citizens Property Insurance CEO Barry Gilway continues. Possible reforms to help keep home insurance cost increases down.
If the number of times that claims are litigated went back to 15%, right now it's over 40. But if it went back to 15%, we'd be providing premium decreases to virtually 100%, including Dayton Broward customers.
This is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting public radio. Today, we feature our interview with the CEO at Citizens Property Insurance. That's the state-backed home insurer of last resort. Increasingly, its insurance policies are concentrated here in South Florida, and it blames water damage claims from South Florida for fueling higher insurance rates. Now, these are not floodwater claims. These are insurance claims from leaky pipes, a water heater gone bad, that sort of thing. Over the past decade, as homeowners have experienced these problems, more and more of them are signing assignment of benefit, AOB forms, with contractors and lawyers. These are legally binding agreements when a homeowner signs over to someone else any insurance claim. Now, the deals and the subsequent lawsuits are blamed by the insurance industry for escalating premiums. Past efforts to change how the assignment of benefit works have not gotten out of the state legislature. But this year,
the numbers are so compelling. and the rate increases by so many companies are so dramatic that we finally got the attention of key legislators.
That's Citizens Property Insurance Company CEO Barry Gilway. One proposal would not allow a contractor's legal fees to be paid by a homeowner's insurance company. The hope is that would curtail legal costs and reduce an incentive for a repair service to get a homeowner to sign over their insurance benefits in the first place.
It goes back to the original intent of the statute and says, you know, it was never intended to be a commercial business-to-business process.
How about a cap on attorney fees involved in these cases as well? Would you support that?
I don't think that's the issue at all, Tom. I don't think a cap on attorney, because it is so, these cases vary wildly. You know, I said the average case might be $33,000 in terms of total loss. But the bottom line is, you know, the cases range all the way from a mitigation loss of $5,000 to a, you know, $150,000, $200,000 loss. You know, for water damage. Mm-hmm. So limiting fees, I don't think attorney fees, in my opinion, is not necessarily the way to go.
If there were changes in the AOB process, what would that mean for insurance rates for Citizens policyholders in 2020, for instance?
Well, it would take some while to get through the system, but most definitely it would reduce rates.
Not just reduce premium increases, but actually reduce premiums for homeowners.
Over time, let me give you an example. If the litigation rate, and this is a dramatic example, but it's an accurate one. If the litigation rate, that means the number of times that claims are litigated, if the litigation rate went back to 15%, right now in Citizens, for example, it's over 40. But if it went back to 15% the way it was in 2012, we'd be providing premium decreases to virtually 100%, including Dade and Broward customers.
So what you can say to policyholders, certainly in South Florida, is that all of the policy premium increases that they've experienced over the past handful of years, 2, 3, 4 years, is due to the litigation costs around assignment of benefits?
Litigation costs, period. But yes, primarily litigation costs associated with assignment of benefits.
Citizens Property Insurance CEO Barry Gilway. About two-thirds of all assignment of benefit lawsuits in the state filed against insurance companies last year were in South Florida. Now, still to come, another risk of insuring South Florida property, climate change, and any role it's playing with the price of insurance.
We haven't seen that so far, frankly. I don't think we'll see that over the next several years. It's such a long-term issue.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week and for supporting WLRN. The property insurance company backed by state taxpayers in Florida is not considering climate change in the price of protection. Instead, it is the insurance industry's insurance companies, so-called reinsurance, that have focused on the risk of climate change. There's no one hurricane that can be attributed to climate change, but scientists point to higher seas and warmer sea temperatures as increasing the impacts from storms. More and more, Citizens Property Insurance is concentrated covering homes in South Florida. As the company has been shrinking statewide, it remains a dominant insurer in this region, one of the most vulnerable to hurricanes and rising seas. But CEO Barry Gilway says he does not think it's the frontline insurance companies like Citizens that will drive any price changes due to the risks of climate change.
How has the thinking around climate change and climate risk evolved at Citizens as the insurer of last resort?
Well, we have not directly got involved, Tom, with any discussions relative to climate change per se. What we see is that the reinsurers overall are focused very heavily, you know, on the long-term implications of climate change. And basically the implications for Citizens and for the private market are given the percentage of the risk in the private marketplace that's basically assumed by the reinsurance market, and my estimate would be 92% of all the risk in Florida is assumed by the reinsurers. That's why we have such a stable market.
Yeah. So if the reinsurers who have the majority of the risk in Florida are concerned about climate change, by default, they've got to push that on to the primary underwriters, the insurance companies actually writing the policies, including Citizens, right?
That is exactly correct. And so far, we have not seen that. I mean, to your point, the point you made earlier is right on. And that is, you know, what we're seeing basically is a very, very stable reinsurance market. It's a very competitive marketplace. And because the global capacity that supports cat bonds and the primary reinsurance market is just substantial. Until the reinsurers react to a possible long-term, the possible long-term implications of increased loss as a result of climate change, then there's no real direct implication, in terms of your primary insurance premiums. We haven't seen that so far. Frankly, I don't think we'll see that over the next several years, Tom. It's such a long-term issue that, it's really the reinsurers that are going to be taking the lead, I think, in evaluating what the implications might be regarding the overall loss as a result of changes that are occurring.
So when Florida policymakers are talking about climate change and certain state policies may that could adapt or mitigate risk that the coastal areas especially, but also interior areas of Florida may face from climate change. From an insurance standpoint, it's the reinsurers that are going to drive that cost or that financial reality as opposed to the direct insurance companies.
That's accurate. I would say there's probably one exception to that, Tom, and that is building codes. I think... The implications of more rigid and more restrictive building codes, particularly post Irma or post Michael, have a significant impact on the individual consumer. The cost to rebuild, become substantially higher because now you're rebuilding to the latest revised 2017, building codes. So depending upon the area of the state, in your area, in the South East Florida area, you now have to build to between 160 and 180 mile an hour wind, right?
Right.
In the Panhandle, there are areas where if you rebuild, you've got to rebuild to, it's called windborne degree. There are areas in Panhandle where you've got to rebuild to a 120 a level, and there's areas that you have to build to a 150, 160, wind level. So that's where the costs are coming in, and you're seeing the implications of that, I think, in Monroe County. You try and rebuild not only in Dade and Broward, but in Monroe and now, of course, in the Panhandle. The economic costs associated with rebuilding become significantly higher for consumers.
Are you seeing any water damage claims driven by sea level rise?
We're really not at this point, Tom. We're not. That's why I gave you the answer I did earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing a direct impact. What was surprising, I think, both in the we had over 71,000 Irma, claims, and only about 3,500 Michael claims because we have a very low market share in the Panhandle. But what you would have expected to see were more surge claims, and a surge is not covered, under
right.
a standard homeowner's policy.
Yeah. Wind-driven water.
Right, and that you have to have a flood policy to that provides coverage for that. So we did not see, even in the Keys, we did not see the number of surge claims that we expected. It was primarily wind-driven, claims.
That's Citizens Property Insurance CEO Barry Gilway. Still to come, shrinking the company to no longer be a competitor in the homeowners insurance market.
Our job is to really get that the size of the company down to the point where it is truly a residual market company, and we're not competing with the private marketplace, for business.
You're listening to The Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. By the end of 2002, just 4 months after it was created by the state legislature, Citizens Property Insurance already covered more than 200,000 homes and condominiums, and it was well on its way to becoming the largest property insurer in the state, all backed by state taxpayers. A decade later, in 2012, almost 1.5 million properties relied on Citizens for homeowners insurance. The following year, a new law required the company to figure out ways to get smaller, to depopulate, in the words of the law. Citizens had grown into a massive company. Today, Citizens is less than 500,000 policies. It is a third of the size it was just 6 years ago, but it remains the second largest homeowners insurer in the state. Barry Gilway's job has been to shrink the company. He's a 40-year-plus insurance industry veteran who took over as CEO at Citizens in 2012 when the company was at its largest.
Here's the good news. The overall insurance marketplace in Florida remains very positive. You have 56 primary private reinsurers, and you have another five companies that are subsidiaries of national companies like State Farm and Allstate, et cetera. And they have been very, very aggressive in continuing to provide a residential market. Now, albeit at higher, rates to try and keep ahead of the issues that we discussed earlier, but there's still a very, very aggressive market in Florida, very open market. So it seems that when one company withdraws, another company is really, stepping in. I can't give you the names, but we've been approached by other companies more recently that, particularly in the commercial lines arena, that have expressed an interest, an increased interest in Citizens' book of business, because it's a very, very good market. When companies lose business outside of Dade and Broward, That business does not come to Citizens. There's enough of a very competitive marketplace outside of Dade and Broward where the private market is readily picking that business up. I don't think there's any lack of market capacity outside of Dade and Broward. My concern is that as this litigation explosion really continues north west into Florida, as it is in Polk and Duval and other areas, then you might see more restrictions. But today, it's a very open market, very competitive market, and a very secure market. I think the fact that the reinsurers are so heavily engaged in taking the Florida exposure and passing it off, globally, has really allowed these relatively small private companies to prosper and to be very aggressive in terms of their writings.
You mentioned that there's been some financial interest in the business line of insurance, the commercial insurance that Citizens has. Could it sell that book of business? Could it peel that off as a nonprofit state-backed insurance company? Can you extract value out of that?
Well, what's happening now, Tom, is we're losing it. So your answer is yes.
You're losing it to the market, but you're not packaging it up and selling it to another company.
No, we're not packaging it up and selling it. We're down. We will be down to something like 685 commercial policies next year. So, we were just 6 years ago, we were 45% of the commercial residential marketplace. And today we're 7% of the commercial residential marketplace. 5 years ago, we were 23% of the entire residential marketplace, and now we're 5%. So, and the commercial side in particular, you have a combination of the private carriers, traditional carriers, and the excess surplus lines marketplace that are very aggressive on the commercial business, and they're definitely picking that up. We're down to 427,000 policies today, but underlying that is we're growing some in the personal lines account, which is this multi-peril business where we have the litigation issue, but we're still losing business in the commercial and the wind only business because of the reinsurance pricing that's available on the wind only.
Citizens is it's a shadow of a company compared to what it was 5 or 6 years ago in terms of the number of policyholders and the risk that it insured in Florida, fewer than a half a million now policies on the homeowner side, but concentrated increasingly in South Florida. It's a bigger part of the Citizens business, but in South Florida, your market share has also decreased.
It has dramatically. So today, we have about 19% of the Dade market. And we have about 14% of the Broward marketplace. So if you take a look at those markets independently, we're looking at a little less than 20% of the Dade business is ours, and about 14% of the Broward business is ours. Only about 4% of the Palm Beach County business is Citizens.
Yeah, I see 2011, the three-county area was 38%. Citizens, and in 2018 it was 10% for Citizens.
Right. Correct.
So I guess as I try to put these two things together, right, in terms of the overall business shrinking, and but the concentration in South Florida increasing, but the South Florida market share decreasing, is it fair to say that while Citizens has decreased statewide, it has decreased at a slower rate in South Florida. That's why the policy concentration has grown here.
I can't argue with that number because actually we have obviously dropped significantly. We have definitely gone from 33% of the market in Tri-County down to the 10% number that you quoted. So our share of that overall market has dropped significantly over the last, 5 or 6 years. So yes, one way to look at it is we have dropped significantly overall, and we have dropped fairly dramatically in the Tri-County area, but as a percentage of our business, Tri-County is a larger percentage of what remains in Citizens. We were a $3.2 billion company, Tom, when I took over 6 years ago. And today, I think we ended the year at $865 million. So, or we will end next year at $865 million. So to your point, we're one-fourth the size that we were. And of course, that's good for the state because that limits the exposure that the state has to any increase in Citizens' overall, policy count and exposure.
It's an odd charge for any executive to be tasked with shrinking the company and being judged on success or failure about coming in with a smaller company year after year.
Yeah, well, I'm in my 48th year in the business, and this is the first opportunity I've had to reduce business. Most of my career has been spent, growing the business. But you're right, it is, and I think we're down to the point now, though, Tom, where we've been very, very stable over the last almost 3 years now.
Does Florida still need Citizens?
Well, we do because let's take that 430,000. Policyholder number. There's less and less interest in that number, and at the end of the day, at a 5% market share, we're getting very, very close to other residual markets around the country. The larger residual markets around the country, but there's I do believe there's a continued need, for a company that. Whether it's called the sign risk or whether it's called the residual market company, that is available when no other company is interested in the business. Our job is to really get that the size of the company down to the point where it is truly a residual market company, and we're not competing with the private marketplace, you know, for business.
What size do you think that is?
Boy, that would be a difficult one. I would be very surprised if we get much below that 350 to 400,000 policy range.
So you're close to as small as you think Citizens can get.
Without significant change.
Do you see in the future an end of Citizens being a competitive insurance company in Florida? In other words, trying to compete on price and instead put an accurate price of risk on an insured product and the highly vulnerable properties that Citizens tends to get concentrated in?
I think the answer I would give you, Tom, is that I don't see any appetite at this point in the legislature for making those kinds of changes. I think the issue that we're fighting in Florida and is, you know, we've got the highest property and casualty rates in the country today. We have some of the highest flood rates, you know, in the country. So the cost of insurance for a typical policyholder is just is significantly higher than anywhere else in the country. So finding support for any kind of legislation that you know would significantly change the glide path, I think would be, you know, very, very difficult. But, you know, at the end of the day, Tom, that's not a call we would make. I mean, that's a call that the legislature would have to make.
Your average homeowner's premium in South Florida is $2,200 a year to cover a $150,000 loss.
That's correct.
So average of $2,200 premium. What can you tell a policyholder? How much of that is due to assignment of benefits issues?
I'll give you an estimate. I would say assignment of benefits is most likely, and I shouldn't be guessing, but I would say assignment of benefits is probably responsible for a good 20%, you know, of the overall premium, over $400. Yes, I think it's just the litigation percentages, and it goes back to what I was saying a little earlier. If the litigation rate went down to 15% from the current 40-45%, you know, we'd be providing rate decreases to, you know, virtually 100% of our consumers.
That's Citizens Property Insurance CEO Barry Gilway. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at WLRN is our handle. We had production assistance this week from WJCT in Jacksonville. And we should note that Citizens Property Insurance is a sponsor of Florida Public Radio and the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. WLRN is a member of that network. Pilar Uribe is our technical director. Polly Landis is our booking producer. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.